Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. I am one of the hosts for this evening's show, Henrietta Byrd, and I will be joined shortly with Glenn Greenwich and Jill Van Leesen. Jerry's on vacation and it's football season, so you know what that means for certain people. And we are going to be joined this evening with some of the most wonderful people, because today is the celebration of the International Black Summit Declaration. And you know, we begin each and every show with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And we already have online one of the people who was there when the declaration was written, and he's going to just share some things with us. But before we do that, we want to do the declaration of the International Black Summit. And so, Joe, are you there? Okay. Well, I will go on, and I will generate the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And it goes like this. We always ask people to look and see where you find yourself in this declaration, written 21 years ago today in the city of Atlanta when the Black Summit originated. And so we celebrate and acknowledge and say happy anniversary to the International Black Summit. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children. Building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, October 7th, 2012. Joe and Keita are in Atlanta, or they might be in Huntsville, I'm not really sure, but it is also October 7th, 2012. Jill Van Leesen is in Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut, October 7, 2012, and Glenn Greenwich is in Queens, New York. Above, below, north, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. And we always say thank you. We always say thank you to that power that created us, that power that created the International Black Summit, that power that created the declaration of the International Black Summit. So, Joe, are you on?
Yes, hello.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And see, I see two 404 numbers. I'm putting everybody's mic on so we can do a great acknowledgement at this time. I have 404-964. Are you on? Okay. Jill or would everybody identify themselves, please?
Hey, this is Ed. I'm at the 404-281.
281. Thank you, Ed, for joining us. Ed is in it. Are you in Atlanta, Ed?
Correct.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to Joe.
Thank
Tita.
You.
There's a 404-964. Would you identify, please?
I'm on 606.
Okay. Okay, and right, then I see a Huntsville number. I see a New York number.
That's my number, the Huntsville number.
Okay, great. Well, everyone's microphone is on, so just identify yourself when you speak for us, please. But we are celebrating 21 years of the declaration of the International Black Summit. And so once again, happy anniversary for everyone. And just let's hear some shares from people about, I was listening to myself as I was reading it and looking at all of the things that were stated in this declaration that have manifested. You know, earlier today, Glenn in New York was in a walk, I think he called it, a march.
Yeah, that was yesterday, but yeah.
Oh, that was yesterday. Okay, thanks, Glenn. And I thought about that when I was reading a building economies, you know, when it talked about building economies and providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media and empowering our youth. There's been all this talk about all of the marches that occurred in the 60s and the 70s, and that the people, the young adults, might not understand what marching was about. And so it started up again because they've been doing a lot of marching in Chicago, and they have a lot of marches planned. So I was like, that's really great. So people will get to understand what that's about. I'm going to come back to the Joe in just a moment. But I just wanted to say, as far as marching is concerned, they had in Chicago, they're doing a lot of construction, which they do in the fall every year. But this year, the owner, the 87-year-old man, Mr. Edward Gardner, who owns Softshing Products, he created Softshing Products and owned it for about 30 years. He marched into a construction site, sat down in the middle of the construction site because there were no African Americans working on that site, and it was in our community. And he said, if they won't hire any African Americans, he would shut it down. And he sat down, and he shut it down because they couldn't work with him right in the midst of it. So, and then a week later, there was a large group of people who joined him. So that I just wanted to say that is what I got out of this declaration, you know, that when we talk about unpredictable results, you know, those are the kinds of things. One example of unpredictable results. Nobody would have expected an 87-year-old man to lead that march, you know, and he did. So let me go to Joe and ask you, Joe, what are some of the things that the group of people that created this declaration, what were some of the things that were actually going on at that time in 1991?
Okay. Well, first thing, this summit declaration is one of those unpredictable results. We didn't know when we first came to Atlanta to do our first real meeting in the South. We had been meeting up in Chicago and talking on the telephone for months and so forth. And it was some real earth-shaking conversation that went on before. That before we even got to the first summit, you might say, in Atlanta. And so this, after going through many distinctions about relationships, racism, all kind of things like that, that Saturday night, a group went up to the, we looked like the upper room right now. It was at Morris Brown College here in Atlanta where we had the meeting. And they came back with this declaration. Now, some of those people, I had forgotten who was in that room till we did this present summit that were there. They were at this summit we just finished that went up in that upper room. And when they came back down that Monday, that Sunday morning, we were amazed at where did this come from. I mean, it wasn't like it was an extension of where we were talking. I mean, it was something like totally disjointed from the kind of conversation we were having, and to have this declaration over 20 years now with no words, as far as I can tell, been changed. We've added some things to it, you know, like the summit song, and then we talk about, you know, the end, what is it, east, west, and that kind of thing. But nothing has actually altered this summit declaration. And it seemed to have been all-inclusive. All the issues that we were dealing with then and even now have been included. I haven't heard of any new issues to be added to this summit declaration. And the amazing part, it was obviously a revelation. That's all we can say. It was revealed to us, and just like in every summit since then, something new gets revealed to us. One summit, we wind up being kings and queens, and which was not the subject of the conversation when we got there. But the main thing is that that's the kind of thing that happened on that night before that Sunday. It's been happening over and over again inside the Declaration of the Summit itself. And of course, that's hardly any way we could give credit to anybody. In fact, it has been personality-less. Nobody stood up and said, I did this or that. In fact, there hadn't even been a concern about who said what. We just have taken it carte blank, and it's been unfolding itself ever since in our daily lives, as well as what happens at the weekend when we have the annual event. And so whatever else has changed around this summit declaration, the summit declaration itself is very strong. It's very enfolding. All the distinctions have come out of there, like enfoldment versus enrollment, you know, have been clearly a powerful way of being that brings community and individual initiative and all the things about our dreams and sitting on them and doing them like that fella in the middle of that lot. That, none of that's surprising when you look at the summit declaration itself. It includes all kind of things like that happening. But I don't think anybody having to preach about it. Nobody has to go around proselytizing people. It just naturally comes out of people who are faced with living out of the summit declaration. And I'm still amazed at it myself, even though I was there myself when it happened.
Do you remember, Joe, any of the things that were going on in 1991? Anything just come to your mind, like in the community?
Well, it wasn't like anything more special than that. I know we were very concerned about relationships between black men and black women. That was one major thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship of, making sure that the whole conversation about murdering of men and women and children in particular was a major thing. So all those things, and you see in the summit, even our relationship to the media, were things that were really present at the time. It wasn't like we went into some other zone to find out. When you look at the Summit Declaration, you're seeing the issues that were actually going on at the time.
Okay.
And including our image in the media, which is even more important now, it seems, than now, to keep confronting the image in the media. Yeah. Everything in there was actually going on. It wasn't like some more than others. It was all inclusive of what was going on in the black community itself. Okay.
That's interesting. And Glenn, I think you were there. I know you were there as well. Jump in any time. I was interested, Joe. You said when they came from the upper room, and it's interesting because, you know, the upper room signifies everyone, like biblically, it signifies everyone being on one accord. You know, that was what was so great about that upper room experience, you know, that everyone was on one accord. And so that sounds very appropriate to me that, we would term this an upper room experience, you know. Glenn, did you want to add anything about that experience?
It's all very interesting, and I love what Joe spoke to, because you're right. Nothing has changed. We're still inside of that conversation. That conversation is still appropriate, relevant, and real for us. And as we look, the thing that we came together to do, we came together to impact our community. And those were the things that we felt needed impacting. And and to this, they still need impacting. Some form or fashion. Now, the other side of that is that when I look at the people who were there, and the whole, I'll call it a movement, for lack of a better word, but when you look at the people who have involved themselves inside the International Black Summit, are pretty much working on one or multiple of those concerns, conversations in the media, working with our youth, working around financial empowerment. Everybody's got a piece of that and pieces of that, not necessarily just one piece, but multiple pieces. So that's something that we've taken on. That's something that that we've been constantly sharing over the last 20-some-odd years. And interesting enough, there's still plenty of room to grow. So, it's just kind of reflecting that in the moment was pretty powerful to see that not only did we stand for this, but we're actually doing something. So we're not just thinking about it, but we're actually in action doing things inside of churches, inside of community boards, inside of our corporations, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a vibrant conversation that still lives, that's still necessary, because like anything else with a vision, when you create a vision for yourself, at some point in time, you may in fact accomplish that vision. But again, as we all know, a vision is not necessarily just for you to accomplish, but a body of people accomplish. So, so the thing is that we still got some work to do, and it's exciting, and part of it is being conscious. So anyway, I just wanted to say that for now, and just left in the moment of it.
One aspect of that is that the summit has always been about, you know, our putting ourselves into the community, not getting something out of the community. It wasn't like trying to get yourself fixed and then go do something else. It was about empowering you, literally, to get out into the world and carry out a vision of your own, not waiting on other people to. And that's been one uniqueness of it. It's not about getting something. It's always been about bringing service to the world and standing in that as where we are found. Our foundation is in giving service, not taking stuff for your own benefit. Of course, the paradox is the more you serve other people, the more you serve yourself too. So, but it's amazing that it's still pretty much based in what are you going to do, not what you're going to get. And
you know, there's something that just jumped out at me that I thought was pretty powerful, because one of the things at the march yesterday was that there were a lot of people from the Black Greek organizations. And when you look at it, the foundation for most of those organizations are service, community service. Now, they have some other initiatives as well, but the common ground is community service. When you look at the International Black Summit, it wholly is community service. I mean, it doesn't have anything else that it really is part of its focus. Its focus is community, community participation, empowerment, and I would say the other piece of it is it really about leadership.
Right.
So we are about going in and doing, as Joe said, creating and doing and creating leaders inside of our community. And if you look at the young people who have been part of this conversation and what they're up to now, they're all out there doing things in the community, businesses and lawyers and, you know, various other aspects of things that are serving the community through leadership.
Okay, just thank you, Glenn and Joe. Just so our listeners will know, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are celebrating 21 years of our declaration of the International Black Summit. You always hear us at the end of the declaration say that it's October 7th, 1991, Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th. 1991, and it is October 7th, 2012, and so we are grateful. We're just really grateful for the work that's been done, for the people who have joined the summit conversation over the years. Just want to take a moment and invite everyone to our annual event, August 1st through the 4th, 2013, and it is in Ottawa, Canada. And people ask me, where is Ottawa? Ottawa is closer to Montreal. So it's between Toronto and Montreal, is my understanding. But go to our website, blacksummit.org, and fill out, you know, the information and register for the annual event in 2013. The other thing is, this conversation is not just nationwide, it's worldwide. We are the International Black Summit, and as this program is being heard all around the world, we also have people in this conversation who come to the annual event from different countries. And if you go to blacksummit.org, all of the places that we've had the conversation will be listed with the question.
And every year, at the end of the summit, there is a question that we stay in throughout the next 365 days. And this year, the question is, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled? And I'll repeat that. What is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled? And so our conversations throughout the year on this show, as well as all of our conference calls, our meetings, always address that question. And so we are truly thankful for the declaration and for those people who went to that upper room and listened and brought us the declaration, because we also stay in the declaration. And when we find ourselves out of sorts or in question about something, we go to that declaration or we go to the question. So join us this year as we look inside ourselves for some unpredictable results as we go to the question. I would like to go at this time to a gentleman who, and I'm saying recently joined the summer conversation, but it has been a while. But as far as I know, he is one of the newer people in the conversation. And I'll just ask him when he joined the conversation, and that's Mr. Ed. And out of Atlanta. Ed, can you share with us when you joined the summit conversation and what the declaration has, how you benefited from the declaration?
Well, I think for myself, it's been it was the Atlanta when it came to Atlanta.
Okay.
Second time is when it came to Atlanta for the second time, but it came to Atlanta. I think around that time is when I kind of got on. I think that, you know, for myself, it's kind of like saying to me a different way to look at things and stuff. Like, for example, with the declaration, it brought certain things out of the subconscious to the forefront for me. You know,
okay.
The wellness of being in your body. You know what? Never really thought about that. Well, I thought I need to start watching what I eat. You know, how we've seen.
It's the Blog Talk Radio on. You ever people get it online too? Blog Talk.
Could everybody mute themselves if they're not? Ed, would you mute yourself, please? Thank you.
But we're also like how, you know, like how we viewed the images of how we view, you know, be sure that you kind of, you know, act like a young man, present yourself, carry yourself, how you conduct yourself. You know, again, you never really paid it any attention, but sometimes those things being brought to the forefront in, you know, giving the declaration, and also too as a reflection back on actual culture. So it, I guess, arguably helps you be more culturally minded, you know, for myself, I would say. But I just think that, you know, and in the midst of that, I just think one of the greatest things is the ability that you come across people, you know, who have, you know, different likes about the declaration, but the idea that we all could think to some degree along the same chord. And kind of support some of the ideas and the concept behind the declaration, I think to me is very profound. I just think that, too, it's more so to me of a spiritual type of conversation. I got, like, there's certain things that you actually do, but you more so you're dealing in the dealing with the true essence of people in their authentic form. Being able to have a conversation that's led by spirit, not just because of structure, and we need to do ABC 1, 2, 3. You know, what is spirit given? What is the universe given? I think that's more powerful and it's very authentic. And then I just think that it's unfortunate the concept of having authentic conversation, you know, these days of time are very rare. But it's, I just think it's quite refreshing to be able to have it and to be able to see people from different ages, you know, how you have the youth summit for them to kind of get what there is to get, you know, looking at what's possible, you know, for the community. And being able to see some who are a little older than I am, you know, the interact with Joe is always a treat and an honor. You know what I'm saying? So it just, there's so many, I'm going to say, benefits, I would argue. And it all is because of the, you know, because we all align with some of the concept behind the actual declaration. So I just think that to me it's been very profound. It's like, I guess across the board, your friendships. You get to listen to people from different walks of life. Clearly, it's a vast walks of life that come together, but we still could be on the same accord. And I think that just to me is just the greatest thing.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate and really acknowledge you because you are one of the people in the summit conversation who jumped in with both feet this year and last year and whenever, you know. And I think that Atlanta summit was either in 98. I think it was 98. And I'm looking just to make sure. Yeah, it was in 98. And so we just thank you for your contribution as well as those who were in that space in 1991 who just listened like and received this information to give us. And we are still, like you said, building nurturing relationships, you know, just some of the greatest relationships I've ever experienced. No matter where I am in the world, there are always summit people somewhere close by. And ready and willing to share with you, open their doors to you, and just, you know, everything that's in that declaration. So I see another, if you have a question, and if you would just, a question or a comment, just press the number 1 button on your phone, and it will let us know that you would like to speak. The call-in number for those who are listening via the web is 646-716-9827. 646-716-9827. It is about, 7:33 in Chicago, 8:33 Eastern Standard Time. And our show tonight is on the debate. And we would really like people to comment, give their comments about the presidential debate. We're going to move into that segment in a few minutes, but I would just like to check in to make sure that if there's anyone else who would like to speak about the anniversary of the Declaration, this is the time for you to share.
Henrietta, can I share one more thing?
Certainly.
Okay, here's another, two other things. The concept of alignment, that even, it's kind of like saying you're telling 5 cats to walk in the same direction. Like, it's unheard of. But in our ability to have our own way of thinking, our own thoughts and what our own reason and just causes, but still be able to come along one chord, that's very powerful for me to have seen that. And the second thing would be, it doesn't mean that we all will always agree on everything, but there's a way that we are, and we try to be about working out our differences. You know what I'm saying? In order to be sure that we're kind of coming to, that we're moving forward towards a goal or to what the Declaration is about. So I think those are the two, I would say, that most powerful things I find is not common in the world in a general sense.
Okay, great. And those are, we have so many distinctions, you know, and alignment is one of our distinctions, and it is our way of aligning. See, alignment for us is a way of our coming together to listen, another way of our coming together to listen to what life is saying to us. And we are able to do that because of another distinction, which is clearing. And so, you know, when you're clear, you can hear what life is saying to you. And that is our method of how we do things. We use this process of alignment. And so on another show, we'll talk about alignment in depth. So those of you who may not have heard that before can call in and ask questions and things like that. Is there anyone else who would like to speak about today, our anniversary? Is there anyone else who would like to share about that? And you can wait. Press the number one if you want to speak. And, Joe, I heard you. Go right ahead.
Okay. The other point, I want to go back to the international aspect of it. We didn't have that broad a vision at the time when we first started. It was obviously international, global from the beginning. And so it has, this summit has actually broken a lot of ice in other places for our relationships with people in those parts of the world. And that were not automatic. We had to have a summit to make those shifts happen. I remember what happened in Kenya, where we all wore our dashikis and found out everybody else over there was wearing suits, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So we had some lessons to learn about the rest of the world. But in the meantime, if you did a scientific study of the impact we've had on the community, you will find that many of the issues of the black community are addressed right in the middle of the declaration without ever mentioning the problem. It's not problem only, but it's solved the problem before you can talk about it. Like this conversation about black-on-black crime, and which was in Kenya, kind of wiped out, and the whole conversation for crowds in the bear, all those things we have taken for granted that would never get addressed directly, are all addressed inside the summit without ever mentioning them. It just kind of disappears them. You know, so to me, it's an amazing phenomenon that we've been part of, and we haven't done much analysis of it in terms of the overall impact it has. But it clearly got a job done that was needed and wanted beyond what we thought it was, you know, and addressing it in a way that just makes it just our natural way of being that gets rid of a lot of concerns that we had without ever having to analyze them and go back and do projects. And it's more like you step on over those things and get into making a difference in the world. And that happens as part of it. Like individual initiatives, the leadership, it's more now than ever before that people are getting out doing things. People already begin to worry about, well, we haven't had a summit share since back here yet. Somebody was talking this morning about that to me. And I said, well, you know, the way this thing works, if you see something, you go do it. And this person, I will be calling the summit share the next week. I'll pull it together myself rather than waiting on somebody else to go do it. And this person is not in no burden about it. It's more like a pleasure to get out and do something that's going to make a difference in the world, you know. So it's just amazing to compare what's in the possibility of the summit in terms of when you want to look at these other things. You may want to look at them through the summit declaration in terms of looking at what's actually happening in the rest of the world to see what may be applicable to those problems that are out there, because I don't think it's just related to being black. These conversations are more like universal, that we just have the privilege of spreading into the world ourselves is one of the things that we would be a contribution to the world. And I think this is one obvious place that's actually happening. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That was Joe Hampton, and he is the husband of Keita Hampton, and they hold down parts of Alabama, you know, like in Huntsville and in Atlanta as well. They are on that strong Atlanta team that the summit has. We are thankful. Joe was one of the originators, along with Glenn, who's on this call tonight. They were in that upper room experience when the Declaration was created. So happy anniversary to everyone in the Summit Conversation, and we would just like to acknowledge those people who were in the room and actually listen for the voice of the Summit to come forth in the Declaration. Today is our anniversary, and we are thankful for 21 years of the Declaration of the International Black Summit. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are live with some of the great people in the Summit Conversation, as well as others who are on the air tonight. Our call-in number is 646-716-9827. Our 2013 annual event is being held in Ottawa, Canada, August 1st through the 4th. So please mark your calendars, take your vacation that weekend, join us in Ottawa. Go to blacksummit.org and register and join the conversation. If you'd like to have a summit share in your area, just let us know. You can call the talk show any Sunday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, by calling 646-716-9827, or you can reach us on Facebook. You can reach us at blacksummit.org. And these shows are all archived, so you can listen to any show that we've done over and over and over again. You can download them to your iPod, your iPad, your MP3 players, you know, and listen over and over again. And with that being said, we want to move into the segment about the debate. So, Glenn, who was, remember, who was marching yesterday, but a few days before that, he was triggered, okay? He was triggered, which is another one of our distinctions. I'll start there, you know, with that distinction. Trigger provides you access to some aspect of yourself you have been unable or unwilling to be with. That's what trigger does. It provides access. So, Glenn, if you could just tell us, number one, what triggered you? What had you unable or unwilling? I mean, what let you know that you had been unable or unwilling to be with some aspect of yourself? And just tell us what happened.
Well, there are a couple of things that I want to speak to, and I actually want to go back to the summit question for the year. Inside of that trigger conversation. So the summit question is, what is available when I notice my trigger? I have to notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So I got triggered for a couple reasons on the debate. And so one of the first things that I got triggered about was that Romney lied several times. I got triggered that President Obama, in my estimation, didn't fight back in terms of having some vow. You know, the fact that Romney was lying, I mean, it was just kind of like everybody in the bar that I was listening to the debate would kind of, you could hear, you know, it was like, did he just say that? And so there was no response. And then the other thing that I was triggered by was Romney's ability to, and what I'll say, bullied the moderator. So I thought those things triggered me. And again, what I have to be with. So it's like, what's available when I notice my trigger? So I notice my trigger, be with what is. So there's nothing that I could have done to change it, shift it. but be with what is. So be with, that's how it occurred. That's what happened. The other side, the other trigger was that, of course, the media said that Romney wiped up President Obama at the debate, which I was like, isn't that interesting? When Obama answered all the questions and Romney was just doing talking points. But again, be with what is and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So clearly my vision fulfilled is for us to have a leader who is representative of accurate, is a true leader, is honest, who is thoughtful, forthright, and decisive. So anyway, so I'll start off the conversation with that, and that was my, so I got to be with my trigger, be with what is inside my trigger over this week, and as a, and the more I be with it, the more I see that that I needed to be at this march on Saturday, which was yesterday, to do the things that I need to do in my community to shore up and to have my community take a stand against the violence that's occurring in Southeast Queens, New York City. Back to you, Henrietta.
Okay. Can y'all give us more idea what that, that's not all over down here in the South, okay? Well, we are hearing you talking about something, but I'm not clear what it is. The news hasn't reported this. Whatever, this is in the news. So something happened that we're not privy to.
You're talking about the what I perceive to be the lies?
No, I mean, you said something happened in up there.
The march you were doing.
Yeah, march. What is this march you're talking about?
Oh, well, we had a march. We had a march in Southeast Queens against to stop the violence in our community.
Okay.
And so, you know, what I looked at and what I translated all of that, because again, the things that need to be done. What am I doing about them? You know, where am I taking action? Am I just waiting for President Obama? Or Mitt Romney, if he becomes the president, am I waiting for them to be the person to do all that needs to be done? What's my part? So I got real clear inside of my vision fulfilled that I'm responsible for generating the vision inside of my community, and what am I doing about it? So, you know, what action needs to be taken? So I got real clear that there's action to be taken that I need to take, and it wasn't about them.
Well, could I respond to your concern about Obama's reaction? Can I speak that based on the trigger conversation?
Sure, absolutely, because, I mean, that's what this conversation tonight is really about.
Yeah, one of the distinctions of the trigger is that there is no out there.
You
know? I love this.
So, standing in... To me, it took a lot more power for Obama not to respond.
Absolutely.
And to fall for the trap that was in him. Yeah, I see a person who looked inside for the solution, not how to take the weakness. The bully, to me, is the one that's out of control. That's power, not power. So to me, it was a clear distinction of between power and force in that debate. Somebody got to bully somebody. A lot of fear. Literally, that's all that's there is fear. That's what's driving it. And the only way you can haul that is to look in, get your power back. You know, so standing in the summit, it was perfect for it to look the way it looks. But there are a lot of us who are on the side of black people who don't understand the difference between power and force. You know, we fall into the same trap that we've been beat down with forever, you know. And it looks weird that he didn't stand up and punch him out. But that's not, the power is not punch him out. And take it all in a way that he shows up like a buffoon. It's amazing that people have reacted to this. That looked at calling him something that he wasn't even being called before. How many folks would call him a bully before this thing? Now that just tells me the whole world saw that. And about this black and white thing, folks keep saying it's about showing who has power and who doesn't. And power don't have to fight nobody. You know, it just don't have to work that way. It works
sure
just the opposite. You know. So, but at that, but again, if we keep language in the same language of the people who are causing the problem in the first place, it looks like something is wrong when Obama didn't do what he did. I hear just the opposite. He could have just lost his cool up there. Then what would that have been like?
True.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Correct.
Completely got it. Thank you, Joe.
Right. Thanks, Joe. That, you know, and I'm sure the world is glad to hear that. Many of us, you know, because of course, and so many people, interesting that I've spoken with, you know, they have so much, I don't know if it's faith or just they know, you know, like I heard people say, well, I know Obama is always thinking, you know, like he's always doing what he considers to be the right thing, you know, so I'm going to trust that, you know, I'm just going to trust that. And they may have been just as triggered as you were, Glenn, you know, but they moved into that space, you know. But like some people, I heard a talk show this morning with Reverend Jesse Jackson and Santita Jackson, and some of you might have heard it because it is a nationwide show that's on every Sunday morning, and they were having a conversation about it, and people were voicing their opinions, you know, just different opinions. So let me just ask if there's anyone else online who would like to join this conversation about the debates, like to share or comment about the debates.
Hi, this is Jill. How are you?
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hello. I too was triggered, and thank you, Joe, for saying what you stated. I did get a sense. After the debate, like during the debate, I was triggered. After the debate, I said, you know what? He's playing chess. He did a lot of writing. I feel like he was really trying to figure out how much does Romney really know? What's really going on? I know he was doing his talking points and sound bites or whatever, but I feel like that the president is playing chess, and he did exactly what he wanted to do. And yeah, he could have been a lot stronger. And even they even saying that he was a little disappointed, or maybe he was a little surprised at how abrupt and in my opinion rude Romney was. However, I do feel like he's playing chess in this next debate. It's going to be, he's going to come across much stronger and much more alive. Back to you.
Okay, so Jill, let me ask you this. Do you get, though, that, you know, based on, like, how Joe explained it, that he was showing strength this time, that he was the stronger person this time?
When I say strong, like the way it came across, I do get what Joe was saying, and just on the surface, the way it came across on the surface, to me, Romney was more of the bully. However, the strength, the wisdom, the calmness, the consistency came from President Obama. So yeah, I definitely get what Joe is saying. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Obama is way more clear about what power is. I said the looking bad is in the listening of people who don't understand the difference.
Say that again, Joe. The looking bad is in the listening of the people who don't know the difference. Is that what you said?
It's about fighting. That's it. That's the theme of this thing, about a fight. But Obama has consistently been doing this. It ain't just now. But here's the other side of it. You notice in the next day or two, the stock market had a change. Okay?
Sure it did. That's
and
right.
Actually, today, the employment has dropped. Nobody can understand how come that's going on. Because power is what's at stake, not force. The community can't be forced into hiring people. Can't use that technique. Okay? But there's another power that he's speaking into that can alter the very nature of this country. But it ain't going to come from two men battling out like boxers. He's going to have somebody to understand what power is. And that power has all power attached to it. It ain't just two men talking. We talking about the real thing. That's what this summons about. It's not about us pretending to be power. It's about real power when we get out there and march and whatever. Okay?
Well, you know, that's interesting, Joe, because I was very clear when I left the debate that Obama had won in my eye because he actually answered the questions.
Right.
He dealt with what were the issues. But I knew that wasn't what the public was looking for. And see, and the truth about it is I'm not so much worried about what I perceive, because I'm clear what I perceive. I'm actually scared to death about middle America. Now, that being said, I understand that it's all in divine right. So whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And regardless of if I think or fearful of it, it's going to occur. The thing that I got clear this week about is that not to give away my power.
Mm.
You know? And that's what I got clear for myself this week, and that what was there personally for me to do to take ground and to impact the things that are in my preview.
One of the things I heard, Glenn, when you were speaking was one of the things that came to me, I should say, when you were speaking is clearing yourself. Because remember, like, there's a part of metaphysics that says, well, not just metaphysics, whatever you fear, you know, like whatever you focus on, you bring. You know, you know. So you want to clear yourself around that fear that you have, you know, so that you can stand firm and focus on what you want, not what you don't want, but focus on what you want. So, and those people who are undecided, for instance, you know, just undecided. When they're looking at everything. They're looking at how people who are for, how they act, how people who are against a particular candidate, how they act. And they oftentimes make their decision based on what they see in you or me, you know, or someone else. So it is important that we stand firm on what it is we know to be true. Like Joe presenced standing in integrity. You know, Ed talked about that. This concept that we have of integrity, just being honest and being in communication in a particular way. So we know, like the world knows, that there were certain myths. I forgot. There were like 30-some myths that came out during the time of the debate. And then there were things that were just not true. They just weren't true at all. And so if we stand on what we know to be true,
that person who is undecided can look at us. You know what I mean? And we can be that power that they need to see, or that integrity that they need to see. That's kind of what came up for me when you were speaking, you know.
Claire.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak about their thoughts or feelings on the debate?
Yeah, this is Ed.
Okay.
I'm going to align also, too, with Jill, that I think that he was playing chess. And I say that because this is not his first debate. He is a politician. So there are certain things, you know, good or bad, that people, you know, have to assign with being associated with being a politician. This is not his first debate. He, you know, went through it when he ran for Senate, got through it, you know, when he ran for president. So when you think about how meticulous they are on presentation, even the color of your tie makes a difference, right? So you,
yeah,
they understand the dynamics, or should I say, the DNA of stuff. So just as a regular guy, you know, when I talk to another man, you look a man in his eye, right? I'm not running for office, but there's a certain thing men just do. And if you notice in all of the photos that were side by side, he didn't necessarily do that. So in so many words, I would say he's playing possum. Just like the actual chess. See, it's the idea, because one of the things that you notice, some of the things that Romney said, well, some of his, you know, his representative, well, that's not true. Well, he's really focused on doing this right here. But in so many words, you had a chance to outright say something that wasn't necessarily true because you were in the moment. And I think that being said, I think he was sure that he explained the answer to some things, but at the same time, too, he didn't fully deliver, like how you mentioned the 47%, or several things he could have said he didn't do, but he was just doing it. Again, he be sure he answered the question, but did not, I guess, fully engage in the showmanship, you know, of that process. He just kind of kept it to a general norm, but he still be sure he did what was requested. But again, because he done ran, it's not his first time being on a debate. He understands the importance of it, but he just kind of like downplayed it. So I really do believe he's playing chess.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. So for the chess players out here, I'd like to ask this question. So what do you think will be his next move?
Well, two things. Number one, he done it in order to, have something put on the record, if you will, that he said. Secondly, he has allowed some of his, you know, people who represent him make some corrections. So now he hasn't done anything. I haven't called you a liar. Your own people did it for him. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
His own people, so those, he hasn't done a thing. And then secondly, because I know now, you know, I guess your style or what angle you want to come from with me, I know how to respond to you. See, I'm now prepared to kind of engage because you done, quote unquote, you done kind of show me what it is you got. And for him, I don't think that Rock arguably has put out his best stuff, I guess, lack of better words, in the interpersonal, imano type deal. But I think that, I guess, a lack of better words, I think of an old rap song, I think it was Keith Murray. He said, I represent intellectual violence. But the term that you see what I'm saying? It's intellectual.
Yeah.
So in so many words, now that I know where you are, you have to some degree shown me your hand, now I can come back at you.
Okay, Joe, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree. In fact, it looked to me like, you know, in the fact that Muhammad Ali had with, what's the fella in Kenya?
Foreman.
He let this fella beat him half to death. And then he whooped him.
Can you speak a little louder, Joe?
I said he let this fella just beat on him, beat on him. He took all his punches, but he was technically getting him so tired he couldn't fight. So he didn't play the game of trying to overcome him. He went with him. There's a lot more power to go with than to go against. But people think that because it looks a certain way, that makes a difference. It don't make no difference what power really is. It's not a looking good. Looking good is a form of force, trying to manipulate somebody's mind. The power moves things in the world. You can't fight power. It won't work. But a lot of folks don't get it because this country is so stuck in what I call the male domination conversation, like it really is where power is. It's not there. It's illusion. Threatening people is not the way to run this world. You get called in wars and a lot of folks get killed for no reason. But when it really shows up, it looks funny to people. But they're not used to everything on television is about throwing rocks and shooting people. You don't see real power on television. But you can see it in the summit. In that room, stuff happens and nobody's fighting anybody. But all of a sudden, a major shift happens in the group. But nobody forced it. Nobody intellectualized it. But again, if we get worried about it too, you know, we're caught up in it too. But on the other hand, it's the only thing that's ever worked in this world. You look at any leaders in the world, they did the same thing. Christ got beat up too. Well, look at who remembers him versus these other folks that beat him up.
Right. Good point.
What's thinking that power is not the same as force. So ladies seem to have way more consciousness of what power is, by the way. But they sneaky about it. I'll say that. It gets them in trouble, you know. But I say, woman, if he's going to lead the world, he can't lead it from that belligerent place they've been for the last 20 years. It just ain't going to work. It's just going to cause more violence in the world, and we already at the nuclear weapon side of it already. It just can't keep going that way. If he's going to be that, we might as well let the other fella be in there. Might as well. I don't want him to give up the things he's able to do out of just being a black person and join that other stuff that don't work no way. No matter how bad he looks on television. By the way, everybody wasn't watching television. I didn't even watch it. I don't have those images that people are talking about in my head. I didn't see it. I don't have to fight it because I didn't actually see it. You
know? I got it. And that's interesting because you could have listened to it on the radio as well, you know, and not seen the images. And that's right. I mean, that's important because we are visual people, you know, and we do look at things and judge things based on what things appear to be. You know, I was just thinking, like you said, the things that he covers or he stands for that directly relate to the declaration of the International Black Summit. I was just thinking about those things and how powerful it is to stand.
Hi. Welcome to the stereo. I was just...
Mute your phone, please. You know, just to stand still and stand on what you know to be true. You know, I checked when we were talking about what was going on in 1991 when the declaration was actually released in Atlanta, Georgia. And a couple of headlines I think would be interesting to you just to see the difference of what was going on, you know, like something, a major change. And one of the things was that was the year that Magic Johnson announced that he was HIV positive, you know. And look what Magic Johnson has done in those 21 years. Unpredictable results, you know.
just unpredictable results. And standing, you know, here's another person who stood on, you know, possibility. Because at first, I remember when this occurred, that was like, you know, nobody expected him to miss 21 years. Nobody, they didn't expect that. But look, not only is he still in a body, but he has done some wonderful things for the community, you know, along those same lines. So I was just thinking about that as far as I did watch the debate, and I did see visually what was going on. I even picked up that every time Obama smiled while Romney was talking, that I said, oh, that must be another lie, because a lot of the things I did not know to be facts. But Obama put this little smirk on his face throughout Romney's talks, and I just made up that every time he did that, that was something that may not have been the truth, you know, and then I found out later on that indeed those were considered myths or not the truth. So I was just, you know, I was just looking at that. Is there anyone else who would like to share about the debates? Okay. Anyone else? Anyone who's on mute who might want to share about the debates? Okay. Well, once again, happy anniversary. Joe, we thank you so much. Ed, we thank you. Glenn, thank you. Glenn and Joe are one of the people who were originators of the Declaration of the International Black Summit. So we acknowledge you and thank you so much for just being a listening that day, 21 years ago, today actually, to bring forth that declaration that thousands of people are creating their lives, you know, with that declaration. Ed, thank you for joining the conversation. Gio, thank you for joining the talk show team as well as the conversation. I think Keita's on the phone. Keita, thank you so much for everything you do to support this conversation of the International Black Summit and all of the various ways that you do. I was fixing breakfast this morning, and I said, God, I miss Keita's breakfasts. She makes some of the most healthy, filling breakfasts, you know. But that's just my own personal thing. But Keita's just such a contribution to this conversation of the International Black Summit and registration, and host wherever we are just throughout the year, housing people who are doing the work, going through the community. So we acknowledge Keita Hampton as well today. And thank you to everyone. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. Joe, I'm going to ask you for any closing remarks that you might have.
Well, Keita says thank you for the acknowledgement, by the way.
Okay. She is welcome. So, Joe, would you like to give us some closing remarks?
Well, I may hopefully not sound very arrogant about what I said, and I can sound that way sometimes. So I hope I haven't offended anybody either with what I'm saying. But I really believe in the Islamic Declaration. It is solid. And I say, if we stand there, we can handle anything. We do not have to join the technique of people who have demonstrated thousands of years that they think force is going to make the world a better place. I don't think we need to do that. That's the summit itself. It gives us altering our image in the media. It's way already about violence. You get that? We violent people. Killing and murdering people. Now, I don't think adding another black man to that will help our state in the community.
Well, that's where I'm coming from. Adding in the summit makes a difference. It's been 20 years of growth and development, for me at least. And I'm taking it into my job and everywhere else. And it's working there, too. I'm seeing black folks come out of there dozing. Alcoholics and drug addicts getting out there doing good work.
Yeah.
It's working. Just how do we keep communicating it? Maybe on some of us, I mean, it's getting into the Facebook. I know, what's her name? There's someone about the summer every day in the Facebook. I don't know whether we're talking yet about the distinction, so I don't hear anything more than people maybe presenting their project. But that can be some debate, I think, put into the social media that makes present these conversations that we are privileged to, that maybe other people need them more than we do. Remember, our whole conversation about all communities are holding complete, not just the black community.
Okay.
For everywhere, not just do we have a good time ourselves. I'm just as concerned about the rest of them. But they, you know, it's like we can't have a world with just one community.
Okay.
Without them working together. So that's kind of where I am, and, you know, I may sound a little arrogant about it myself, but it touches me in a different place, too. Right.
Right. Well, I thank you. Thank you so much again for those closing remarks. This discussion is not necessarily the views of the International Black Summit, but of our callers and our listeners who are calling in, expressing their individual views. So God bless everyone. Continue to have a wonderful week. Remember, voters' registration ends in some states on Tuesday. That's the day after tomorrow. So please check with your family and your friends to make sure they are registered to vote. Take the seniors. Go to the senior housing, assisted living places in your community, and make sure people are registered to vote. You can take your laptop and you can register a person online wherever you are. So just make sure people are registered by Tuesday, because Tuesday is the last day in many states. Registration is closing. Remember that. Remember people who have been incarcerated, who have completed their time and completed their parole, may legally vote. So if you see people who think that they cannot vote because they've been incarcerated, that is not true if they've completed their parole and their time. So thank you for getting out there and helping with voters' registration. And then after we get voters' registration complete, then we'll work on getting people to the polls. So thanks a lot. Happy anniversary to the International Black Summit. Thank you for expressing your views, and good night. We love you.
Good night. Good
night. Good night.